firm of Harris and Meringue. Patrick Harris,
look, Daniel, I do what I want.
Danny Meringue.
That is smelling your own farts.
Easy there. These are great pipes.
I'm not going to say agree to disagree, but I really don't like you right now.
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, two down, one to go here. Portland sports leader, the firm of Harris and Meringue. We do this every single day from 10 to 1. It's my guy, Danny Meringue, right next to me. Coming up after us, we'll slide it over to Duck Insider from 1 to 2, then the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson in his triumphant return, back from wasting his life away with his idiot guy friends. I'm sure he's got great stories as we were dancing around those this morning before the show started. You'll get him from 2 to 3, and then, baby, you know what it is. It's prime time. From 3 to 7, Isaac and Suk take you all the way home, finishing up 13 hours of live local sports, regional coverage, talk, radio, whatever it is I say there. Makes us number one. That's what's great. We'll get to some other NFL teams in the playoffs today. The San Francisco 49ers, Los Angeles Chargers, and we'll finish up and get back to that Damon Williams conversation we were having. I have yet to see anybody tell me another owner redemption story, Danny, so I think it's just old QB.
Yeah, it's, and even then his is like a short tenured one.
It's so. More he just became less insufferable, you know?
It's probably it.
Yeah, just I hate you less. I hate you less. But let's get into this. I was looking at an article, Danny, on USA Today about a player that could get traded from every team. Now, there's the usual suspects on here. You know, everybody's been talking about Trae Young. Obviously, Jonathan Kuminga's relationship in Golden State is not a great thing. Hasn't been for a while. Him and Steve Kerr clearly don't like each other. I'm looking at this, you know, hey, there's a guy on Boston who's available named Anfernee Simons. I've already been down that path. Mm-hmm. It's not, I don't necessarily want to have the convo with you, Danny, of should the Blazers trade for somebody? Because I think if you're trying to get better, especially if you have some injury concerns and some lack of depth concerns, that you should definitely be looking at avenues to try to enhance your team. My issue is like, who's available that you really want?
It's going to be weird to see what the trade market ends up shaking out as. And the first domino to fall league-wide is going to be Trae Young, but it appears like the Hawks maybe try to hold on a little bit longer and not be the first team to do something.
And why?
Just to see if they can get something better. But
to see somebody else on a less caliber than Trae Young go for what you thought you were going to get for Trae Young
and then bump that up? But like just the sense of like, does another team get desperate? Mm-hmm. Because the offers, like, there's a reason why the three guards that I bring up all the time, Trae Young, Ja Morant, LaMelo Ball, all three of those teams have been shopping those guys for 2 years. I've told you that since mm-hmm. you got in here, Dustin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. But the gap between them and like Darius Garland is a canyon.
Huge.
Like, and not only is
and Darius Garland's aren't available.
Oh, not only that, I mean, for the right price, he could
everybody,
be.
Well,
yeah.
We know in the NBA, yeah, everyone's available.
Everyone's available. But, you know, there was talk of Garland maybe being dealt last year and them getting away from the kind of the two guard thing with Garland and Mitchell and having Mitchell kind of be your one and getting bigger everywhere else. But because Garland's contract is a little bit bigger, he's not like a Zach LaVine or a Trae Young or a LaMelo Ball in the sense of like his contract being so onerous, especially in respect to his play. But here's the other part of it. DG's also a likable guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Is like,
if I was a Cavs fan, he'd be the guy that I have the jersey of.
Yeah, no.
Probably. I'd probably do Mobley.
Or Mitchell.
Pac-12 and defense would be my kind of guy.
Wait, where did Mobley go to school?
I believe he went to the University of Spoiled Children.
Indeed, he did.
I had to.
No, it's fine. It comes with territory.
Great player at USC. Great player at USC.
But
him and his brother.
Hey, look, Isaiah got a nice little ride there. But the trade market, I think, is going to materialize a little bit more once you see some of these other guys move. And, you know, the Lakers are a team that they're saying that they want to do something. Sacramento is saying basically you can have anything, not named like, you know, Neek Clifford.
Yeah.
It's everything must go kind of a situation. I don't know how much they actually do at the deadline. We'll see what kind of happens there. The Knicks have flagged that they're, you know, kind of looking for some help. The two deepest positions in the NBA right now are point guard and center. There's just teams, well, even though teams may need some of those things, you can find depth pieces everywhere.
Well, let's take our Blazers, for example. There is no need for bigs.
And there's really no need for point guards in the, like, when you're making a trade, because you've got three, they're just all hurt.
And I think that's something that Blazer fans and those of us that speak about the Blazers, I think it's an understatement to say it's something you have to keep in mind. And I think that's what's really dangerous with this team. And I will caution Blazer fans out there. I know that Rob Williams and Jeremy Grant and even Drew Holiday, to an extent, feel like these pieces that are great dangle pieces to trade. But don't live in the Jerry DePoto world of making trades just to make trades. You see this. We don't talk fantasy on this on this program about any sport, really. But I've seen so many fantasy managers. I've got one in a long-term keeper league in baseball who loves to make trades. Yeah. It spices up the joint. It's entertaining.
It's more fun.
And in a fantasy world, that stuff's really, really exciting. The problem is, be careful of doing it for the sake of doing it. Like I said.
Which this organization with Joe Cronin and his staff have not done.
I thought you nailed it right on the head yesterday about Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant is a fantastic trade piece if you want to move him. There are a bunch of teams, contenders out there. I think the Lakers would be interested. I think the Bucks would be interested. I think there's a lot of teams out there that would be interested in Jeremy Grant's services.
But what are you getting back?
And his contract isn't that terrible for the team. You might not like it from his output versus his dollar, but in the grand scheme of the team, it's not a bad deal.
I put up a tweet yesterday or day before talking about Kuminga and Trae Young and how the Blazers are linked to them through the media, and I don't believe any last bit of that.
What does Kuminga give the Blazers that they don't really have?
Hey, do
right
the Blazers
now?
Need a guy who doesn't shoot and doesn't, like, he has the tool, has potentially has the tools, but doesn't actually do the things?
No, I have the real version of that, and that is Tumani Kamara.
Yeah.
I don't need to shoot all the time because he's got other jobs and executes them at a very, very high level.
If I can get my laptop to load up here.
I have Donovan Klingon, who do I want more from the offensive side of Donovan? Yes, I do. But right now, I'm focused on you banging the glass for rebounds and playing a little post defense when you need to. We talked about him against Nurk the other night. I don't need a guy that can't score.
So here's the thing about Kuminga. His effective field goal percentage over the last 2 years, in the 21st and 13th percentile. Before that, it was 69th, 78th, and 45th. He is a rim finisher, and everywhere else, I mean everywhere else, it's basically a tire fire. Mid-range, he has been the 28th, 54th, 46th, 25th, and 37th percentile. Three-point percentage, he's been the 32nd, 65th, 28th, 30th, 42nd. So that's his shooting accuracy. But the problem is, you go to his shooting frequency, he's a guy that has been like the 80th plus percentile in mid-range and, you know, around the 60th, 70th percentile in the rim, and he also doesn't take threes. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't take and make threes. He takes a bunch of mid-range shots that he's not good at, and he's not a guy that lives at the rim when he's actually a plus rim finisher. So that's just the offensive side of things. When you look at his rebounding, his defensive side of the ball, he's not a guy who gets blocks. He's not a guy who gets steals. He fouls too much. He's not a great rebounder. Like,
wait a sec. You don't steal, block, rebound, and you foul too much? Do I need to say this again? What would you say you do here?
Yeah, like, again, so this year his offensive rebound rate and defensive rebound rates are both career highs, basically, but it's because his minutes have been limited.
Look, I know that this Blazer team is hurt, okay? Mm-hmm. I know this Blazer team is decimated when it comes to depth, especially at the point guard position. But Drew was not brought in to be a trade piece. Now, if the right deal came along,
When they made the deal for Drew, they, like, because I talked to him, I was like, explain this to me.
Because it was weird at first.
I like Drew. Because the whole idea was like, if you were going to trade Ant, it was to kind of clear a path for Scoot and Shea. Like, Drew doesn't do that.
Drew clogs that up big time because he is a Hall of Fame point guard.
And they flat out told me, like, we love who he is. Like, right now, we think, like, he's in those first, 18 games? Mm-hmm. He was great.
The idea is to put the right people around your kids. Mm-hmm. And is it unfortunate that Jeremy Grant and Drew Holiday are missing extended time? Mm-hmm. Is it unfortunate that we're waiting on Scoot still and really kind of no news out of that camp? Mm-hmm. Of course it is. But I think if you are a GM that has knee-jerk reactions to trade because you are hurt in a window where you are not competing, quote unquote, that is malpractice.
Yeah.
And I think just because people want Jeremy Grant is not a good reason to sell him.
No, and I think the Blazers believe that too. And look, if the right deal came across for basically anybody, I'd be like, yeah, anyone not named Denny at this point.
At this point, yeah.
But, you know, I put up that tweet the other day, and somebody's like, well, they need to trade Jeremy Grant because of his contract. And I'm like, what does that accomplish?
Yeah, what books are you clearing? Like, are you about to go sign Kevin Durant?
That's the thing. Is like, free agency's kind of dead. And here's the thing, and people hate hearing this, but it's the truth. You need to have contracts on your book to make trades.
Yep. Because you got to, you know, what
money's got
to
match.
What's the thought with Trae Young? It's to go to Washington to offset CJ McCollum's bad deal.
Well, CJ's deal is expiring. It would get Atlanta out of it a year earlier. But Trae's not going to go to a place happily unless he's getting his next year picked up, which is like $50 million.
Oh, God.
Which you want to talk yourself into. People are like, oh, the Blazers should do that, and they should get off Jeremy, and they can clear the books. And I'm like, but why? For what reason? Like, what is the purpose? If you give me an actual purpose, we can talk about it. But, like, having clean books isn't this thing, and it hasn't been this thing for a long time. Because, number one, you're the Blazers. You don't sign free agents. Number two, it's Kevin Love was, I can't remember which pod he went on the other day, was like, we've got to talk about these aprons. These aprons are screwing
you
teams
told me
over.
About
yeah.
This, yeah.
And he's like, you're telling me the Oklahoma City Thunder aren't going to be able to keep players because of these aprons? And he goes, and we know why it is, and we know who did it. And he's basically going, hey, Christian James McCollum, you did this.
Yeah, yeah. You hosed us in the collective bargaining and running the players' union and all that stuff.
It's like, great, you guys can all smoke weed now and not get tested for it, but also at the same time, these contracts and the structures of them and how teams can keep guys together and get actually pay guys at the same time is so onerous that you just can't do it.
I tried, Jennifer.
Yeah.
There you go. We'll get out on this. I don't mind going a little long on this. We'll get out on this, though. I think another dangerous thing, if you're a Blazer fan listening to this right now, something that is very, very important to remember is this team is not competing right now.
No.
If this team makes the 9 seed, the 8 seed, 7 seed, something like that, that's house money. This team is still a build in progress. Mm-hmm. And guys like Jeremy, guys like Drew, guys like Dame, even though he's not suited, that's building culture. You've got new ownership coming in. You might have a whole new coaching staff, whole new front office.
We don't know. That's the other
we don't
part
know
of this
that. But a lot of these players are still going to be there.
Any moves that are going to be made, they're going to be greenlit by Dundon.
Exactly. But these players are still going to be here. Mm-hmm. So you start to build that culture. Even when you start to compete, Jeremy Grant might not be here. Drew Holiday might not be here when you're really starting to compete, assuming your window goes the way. But you've done the hard work of teaching the Scoots, the Donovans, the Shadens, the Dennys, the Tumanis, who I just named your future starting five, in theory, how to be true NBA players and contributors.
I'm not against the Blazers making moves coming up to the trade deadline. What I am against is them making moves to try to make a push for like the 8 seed in the West this year.
But
if you're going
cost?
To make a move, if you're going to make a move, have it be looking more forward into the future for next year and the year after that. But I don't want it to just be some little piece to try to be like, oh, you know, we're currently 10th. Let's try to get the 8 seed.
Sure. That
does nothing.
Does nothing for me too. All right, we come back. We'll head back over to the NFL as we continue our jaunt around NFL playoff teams. The San Francisco 49ers are on deck. Kyle Shanahan somehow does it again, but can lightning strike twice? Is it time for Cinderella to go home? We'll do that next. 105.1 The Fan. Blazers will take on the Rockets tonight, 7 p.m. Daniel Morang will be in the building. How many times have you seen Kevin Durant live?
Too many to count.
Yeah, is he good, huh?
It's always.
I've never seen him live.
Always worth the price of admission.
Yeah. That's one I think I'm disappointed I've never seen live.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, the one that I haven't seen live that much recently is Wemby, seemingly misses every game.
You missed Coop too, didn't you?
Yeah, I was still recovering. Yeah, wasn't thrilled about that. But then it was also Embiid. Embiid just didn't play in Portland forever.
At least you will get plenty of Wemby and Coop.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
As a youth, my dad, he for several years, he split season tickets with a couple of guys. So we'd get like 10, 11 games a year or what have you. And, you know, the guy who bought the package and he took half the games, he got to do most of the choosing. But we're talking like the heyday of the late 80s and into the early 90s and some of those, you know, close to championship years, never got to see Jordan.
Yeah. Only comes once a year.
Yeah.
We've been spending the week dancing around the NFL and looking at teams as they get into the playoffs, kind of skirting around matchups. We might talk a little matchups on Friday, but just kind of looking at teams and seeing how they got here, whether free agency, new coaches, you know, like the Patriots are a completely different story than this team we're about to get to in the sense of, you know, some teams have been around for a while. Some teams, this is their first time in a little bit going into the playoff with a whole new cast of characters. And other teams, this is what we do here. And that lands us on the San Francisco 49ers, who are a fascinating team. Every year they come in with a loaded roster. I think it's safe to say we all really respect Kyle Shanahan. Mm-hmm. Lynch has done a great job in that front office. You and I have talked about this a lot, and you introduced me to the concept of
injury risk management.
Risk management, yeah, that your injury tolerance mm-hmm. level for the 49ers has been larger than everybody else, which is why it seems like everybody's constantly hurt.
Did you see the story that circulated today?
I did not.
It's definitely 49ers adjacent. Do you know that there is a giant power grid right next to their practice facility?
I did know this.
So there is...
Are we talking 5G here? Magnets? Are we tinfoil hats over here?
Low-level electromagnetic fields.
Ooh, baby!
There is a guy out there that has this long study that basically says that highlights the being in those fields for long periods of time can cause softening of tissues, degradation of tendons and ligaments. It was like,
that's so wild, dude.
I'm like,
this is like Aaron Brockovich, but in the NFL.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, or the mesothelioma ads.
Yes, yes.
But it's like,
did you or your family member ever serve at Camp Lejeune?
Camp Lejeune, yeah.
That dirty place. But yeah, it's, I'm not saying it's true, but I'm not saying it's true, because it would certainly, look, if you're the 49ers and you're not buried on a burial ground, or you're not practicing on a burial ground, like, that's my next thing. It's like, okay, sure, we have a risk tolerance or an injury management level that's maybe higher than somebody else's. Like, we're willing to take those opportunities and those chances. But man, I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't tighten my tinfoil, because electromagnetic fields might get amplified, but like, it would certainly explain some things of the freakiness of it all.
Well, and the weirdest thing too is it's not like the depth guys that are going down. It's the studs.
It's stars. It's Fred Warner. It's Christian McCaffrey.
Brock Purdy. Trent Williams. Bosa.
Bosa. Now again, Bosa, McCaffrey, guys that have historically.
Debo Samuel.
Guys that have historically been beat up, but it's also, if you're getting tenderized by magnetic fields and it's making it worse, yeah, it could probably exacerbate some things.
As far as how this team got here, I think it's safe to say both you and I have been very impressed with Kyle Shanahan. I know I have waxed
still
poetically.
The most fraudulent 12-win team I've ever seen.
I have waxed poetically about my love for Kyle Shanahan and the job he's done this year.
Just keep leaning into it.
I know, I'm going to. But to back up your point, Danny, the most fraudulent 12-5 win. Are you looking at their wins right now?
Yeah, I mean, that chunk of wins that they closed the season with before losing to the Seahawks. They beat the Cardinals, the Panthers, the Browns, the Titans, the Colts, and then that complete S show of a game against the Bears.
They have only won two games against, you know, we banged on the Patriots for this. They've only won two games against teams over 500. The Seahawks in week one, and the Bears 2 weeks ago.
Well, they did get the Rams. They got the Rams at the Rams, so they have three.
Oh, okay, okay.
So 26-23.
There's the West for you. Spin the chamber, yeah. And one could argue that's a Sam Darnold poo-poo game that they won in the first week. So there's that. This team is very, very talented. Like, the names on the back of the jersey are very, very good.
And that was the Mac Jones games where Mac went absolutely bonkers.
And to see Mac Jones, you know, I don't know if you caught this. There was a little blurb from Vic Fangio. They asked him about the San Francisco 49ers. And he basically kind of inadvertently poo-pooed over Brock Purdy, saying, like, look, Mac Jones came in and played just as well. Now, I thought Mac Jones was this good of a player. He was just in bad situations beforehand. But kind of poo-pooed Brock Purdy and kind of lifted up the fact that Shanahan's the guy that's making everything go, that it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback back there. This team, I have no idea what to think about. And this matchup against the Eagles is even weirder. Because who's the team you trust right now more? You called the Niners the most fraudulent 12-win team, and I think there's a lot of validity to that.
I can tell you right now, I don't trust the Eagles, but I trust the Eagles' defense.
But I trust Shanahan as a coach. Mm-hmm. I don't know where the bend and break is in this.
Well, the 49ers played the Seahawks, who have another all-world defense.
Spanked.
What happened?
That final score, 13-3, might as well have been 100-3. Yeah. That game was not close from the jump. You want to talk about Lanning going for it too many times on fourth down? He knew that offense wasn't doing squat, and I think it was very early that Mike McDonald knew that Niners offense couldn't do anything.
That Eagles defense, they have any juice?
They got juice.
So
they got juice. I think if you're really looking at that game, if you want to break it down for a moment, can Philly's offense do anything? Because we've seen this Niners defense play well, but let's look at some of their last wins. 37-24 against the Titans. Mm-hmm. okay? 27 points against Phillip Rivers. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Bears hung 38 on you. Wild, entertaining game, but you're in a shootout. You know? The Texans, the Texans who have a great defense, only mustered 15 points. Okay? The first time you played the Seahawks, you got 17 mm-hmm. on the board.
Remember, that game was ugly.
That game was very ugly. And like I said, Sam kind of lost it at the end of that game.
And remember, that
the
Rams
offensive
game,
line
that,
lost it
that
at the
Rams
end of that
rematch,
game.
The Rams spanked the Niners.
Spanked them. So, as much as I love Shanahan and what he's done this year, and he's my vote for Coach of the Year, I think Cinderella might be going home.
You hate to see it.
I mean, outside of the Chiefs, are they not the most consistent team over the last 7, 8, 9 years?
Steelers.
Oh, don't give me that garbage.
They're consistent.
This team's been to 2 Super Bowls.
I'm just saying, the Steelers are consistent.
Sure, sure.
I think the Steelers are a metronome.
Burnley just scored on United.
There you go. but, you know, the Niners have been great. But they also, remember, the reason why their schedule is this year is because they were cheeks last year because they were so beat up. Mm-hmm. But they had 4 wins last year? Is that what it was?
I don't remember. I just remember them disappearing off the face of the earth really quickly.
Yes. Because they were just, you know, beat to death. So, but yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about the talent. There's no doubt about the coaching. There's no doubt about the front office. But this feels like, I don't want to say Buffalo Billsy in the sense of like the team that lost 4 straight Super Bowls, but it feels
maybe
like
the current Buffalo Billsies.
But it feels like this era's going out. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, Brock signed for a while. Theory, you got
but
your
Debo's
quarterback.
Debo's gone. Trent Williams, how much longer is he going
to
play?
Juwan Jennings is about to be a giant headache, well, I mean, think.
Bosa, his body's going to just give up.
Look, Fred Warner is a top 3, if not number 1, defensive player in mm-hmm. football right now. Not stat-wise, because obviously there's Myles Garrett and Micah. But impact, yeah. Fred is so important. That ankle is gross. Yeah. That injury is gross.
And then you've got McCaffrey, who is a Hall of Famer probably. But
he's kind of glass.
He's a glass cannon, right?
They'll be fascinating to watch. That game is on Sunday, I believe. I believe they're a Sunday
Don't ask
game.
Me days.
Yep, they're a Sunday afternoon game on Fox against the Eagles. That'll be a fun one to watch. Enter to win a 4-pack of tickets to the 66th annual Portland Boat Show, Thursday, January 7th through Sunday, January 11th. Check out the best prices, top brands, and compare hundreds of boats to buy all under one roof at the Portland Expo Center. Starts today. Enter starts today. Why does that say January 7th? And this says Thursday.
Today be the 7th.
Today be the 7th. Check out the best prices, top brands,
sounds
and compare
like a question for sales.
Hundreds of boats to buy all under one roof at the Portland Expo Center. Paging Joe Fisher. Enter now at 1051thefan.com or grab 2-for-1 discount coupons at pdxboatshow.com. We'll continue this trend of looking at NFL teams and how they got here. We'll go to the other 7 seed in the AFC. Down south, another Harbaugh today. That'd be the LA Chargers. But before we go there, let's toss it to the big kahuna with sports.
Hamburgers. Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Here's the hose.
Continuing our jaunt around for playoff teams in the NFL, kind of how we got here. Tomorrow we'll hit you with the Chicago Bears, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Houston Texans. Figured on Friday we'd finish up with the Buffalo Bills. My thought process there, Danny, is that, well, the Bills are the big kid on the block here. At least they should be. The big kid on the block. If I'm Harbaugh, I might be waiting for a potential job that opens.
Yeah, just hang it out.
I would hang
just
out.
Just hang it out. Take your time.
I'd wait till after the Super Bowl. There might be a juicy one. I've been kind of calling for it, but we'll get to that as the week progresses.
He's going to have his pick of where he
wants
to go.
Oh, for sure. I just wonder if the best job that's available is not open yet.
Like I said on Monday. Might be a couple more or something happening throughout the week.
Fire the Ravens. I'd hire John Harbaugh personally. I think he
seems like a great fit.
I think he fits perfectly. Let's slide over to the other Harbaugh. That is Jim in the LA Chargers. Look, you're number 2 under Jim Harbaugh. They clearly have had talent. They hit on a quarterback in Justin Herbert. Not everybody's favorite, but I think this year he kind of proved. Despite some injuries and despite, you know, a ton of injuries on the offensive, personal injuries for himself and a ton of injuries on the offensive line, Herbert has very much shown that he is an NFL quarterback and a very high level NFL quarterback. Part of that is just his own God-given talents. We saw that on display when they finally let him open up the offense at Oregon, which probably helped his draft status huge just in that one Rose Bowl game.
Wait, Justin Herbert can run?
I know, right? It was shocking. Thanks, Mario. And Harbaugh usually hits real good in year two, whether it's in college and especially in the NFL, and that's where we are. This team is a little San Francisco-esque in terms of a lot of injuries have hit it. I feel they have sustained...
The offensive line secondary, particularly.
They have sustained these injuries quite well. This is a team that, of all the teams in the playoffs, I could maybe give you the argument the Bears are also there as well. This team, to me, feels like the most house money.
For sure. Real quick, I want to play a little game. Sure. Who's the Chargers' leading rusher?
I'm going to go with Justin Herbert.
It's not.
Okay, who
He's
is
He's third.
It? All right, who is it?
Kamani Vidal.
Kazuntite.
Exactly. Amarian Hampton got injured. You know,
Tumani Kamara.
Yeah,
two plays running back. Yeah. Two. I mean, he's
3 and D, baby.
Good athlete.
3 and D.
But 13 games, Vidal's got 643 yards. 9 games, Hampton, their rookies.
Your leading rusher is 650 yards.
Uh-huh.
Rough.
And well, the thing is, you get 62 from him. You get 550 from Hampton in 9 games. I mean, he was doing okay. And then Justin Herbert at 500. I believe Herbert ended up leading all quarterbacks in rushing yards this year. Just kind of weird to think about that 500 after we've had, like, you know,
He had a couple good moments. I mean, earlier in the year, I remember that Chiefs game at the beginning of the season.
Oh, I'm not thinking away from
that. Oh, I know
I'm
you're
saying
not.
The number feels a little low for the, you know, league leading rusher for a quarterback.
I think what I was saying is why it's kind of cool that it's Herbert is there are a lot of his runs this season that were just chef's kiss, game sealing, perfect moment to run and get a first down, if not more. That run against the Chiefs, that sealed the game. And that score is 27-21, not indicative. The Chargers blew the doors off them in Brazil.
The interesting thing is when you look at their wide receiver core, McConkey, Allen, and Johnson all had 700 yards. 789, 777,
spread the ball around.
And it's like, I mean, Quentin Johnson figuring out how to play football.
Figuring it out.
Super helpful. Obviously, he missed some games. Keenan Allen, though? Keenan Allen didn't miss a game after being injured for basically the past 3 years.
Old reliable. That's probably the free agent signing of everything for them, was bringing Keenan Allen back in. He even said it. He was like, I'm so happy to be back with Herbert. I don't remember. I think it was a Thursday night game that I don't remember who they beat, but it was a Thursday night game, and Keenan had a clutch touchdown in that game, and he was kind of like, it was just nice to be home. I like Herbert, and I like growing with him. I think this team, you know, if you look at the schedule, dude, they got wins against the Chiefs when we thought they were world beaters. They've beat the Broncos. They've lost to the Giants. They've lost to the Commanders. You know, they lost to a firing on all cylinders Danny Dimes, Indianapolis Colts. You know, they've gotten boat raced by the Jags. You know, they lost to the Texans, lost to the Broncos at the end of the season. They had nothing to play for in that last game. This team, unlike the Niners, I don't think are a fraudulent 11-6. I just think they have so many things going against them that it's just
I mean, their secondary's beat up. They do have a good pass rush with Tui Polotu and Khalil Mack, and then I guess if you want to toss Bud Dupree in there. Derwin James is the one guy on the back end that's still
He's kind of your Fred Warner, you know, just your disruptor who's everywhere. I love Darwin Jones.
But it's one of those things that's just on the outside, they're beat up. And then on the interior, not even the interior, the offensive line. And if you look at the injury report going into the game, I believe two of their three starters are dinged up. Yeah, Sawyer and Bradley Bozeman are both, you know, beat up. So, and then Elijah Molden, who, you know, is their nickelback, he's also questionable for the game. So, shockingly, Chargers have injury concerns going into a game.
Well, that being said, though, they'll take on the Patriots. It's the Sunday night game.
An inexperienced Patriots team.
Yeah, and that could be where they jump up and bite a little bit. I wouldn't be shocked if, of all the lower seeds going against the upper seeds, if the money in Vegas comes in mostly on this game. I know it's easy to want to pick the Bills over the Jags, but the Jags are really good right now. I wouldn't touch that game.
Well, here's the thing, and this is very much reminiscent of Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold does not have a ton of big game experience in the NFL. Neither does Justin Herbert. He has two playoff games, and in those two playoff games, he was not good. He had the one in 2024 where, you know, four picks.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Dirt say, well, you know, two of those picks were balls that went right through wide receivers' hands. Okay, how about the other two picks, Dirt?
Yeah.
He was objectively bad.
This game is going to live and die on Justin Herbert.
And that's the thing. It sucks.
Fairly or unfairly, and probably more unfairly.
Well, it sucks because if he goes out there and he doesn't do the thing, now you've got three games and you go, does he have a problem?
And that's what's going to be tough. His last year in the playoffs against the Jags was an absolute disaster.
They got throttled.
Yeah, and so
they were beat up, and he was playing through a bunch of stuff. And like, I like Herbert. Now, I think there's people that make too many excuses for him, but I also think I find myself in the middle on Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give all the excuses for him, but I'm also going to let him have some of it. Like, they are beat up, and they have been beat up, and he has had bad coaching, and he has had a lot of things going against him.
Really, really bad coaching.
Yeah, I mean, Staley, he was not great. But, you know, there's got to be some spot in between, mm-hmm. right? But I don't want to say there's an excuse. But, yeah, his offensive line is bad, and he has to run for his life. And, yes, they do rely on him because their running game has not been great because guys have been hurt. But he also, it's like, the name of the game when you're making $50-plus million a quarterback is what?
Win. And win playoff games. And I think it's tough. It's not fair to him, like you said, to be put on this. And I'm more of a Herbert guy than you are, just because the physical, built.
He's a big dude with a big arm. Man. He's athletic as hell. Like, yeah, he's got all of it.
That's
which also
what I
makes
want.
You kind of go, you got all of it.
I know, but I think, and that's what's tough. You said it. You want to be an elite quarterback in this NFL, you got to win playoff games. And it's not his fault, but if they go in there and get smacked around the Patriots, look, I can tell you it's because that offensive line is banged up, and Herbie's been really, really good. I'm a big, big fan of him. Offensive line beat up again, you know, injuries again, but it's like Lamar, you know. I don't think his personnel has been very good, and no one's talking about it.
Nope.
It's just talking about Lamar wins MVPs but can't win playoff games. And if we're going to hold Lamar to that standard, whether it's his fault or not, you got to hold it to Herbert's standard, whether it's his fault or not. I try personally not to do that specifically those two guys. I'll throw Josh in there as well, because all three of these guys, if they don't play Superman, they lose, and it's their fault.
The difference is Josh has done it.
Exactly.
Lamar has.
Well, he's done it better than they have.
Oh, no. Josh is still significantly better.
But Josh has still got a giant void on his resume.
Oh, you know. The void is there for all of them, but I'm talking about, like, winning playoff games.
Josh has done it. And Josh only loses to Mahomes and Burrow.
Yeah.
Those guys lose to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me the Chargers in this game for fun. Give me for fun. For funsies.
Look, I get
just
it.
Just because the Patriots are inexperienced, I don't know what Drake's going to do, and I just like Herbert. I like the quarterback play better. I do.
I don't know if I like the quarterback play better, because Drake May might have had the best year in the NFL this year.
I hear you.
It's between him and Stafford. So
I hear you.
When you complete 72% of your passes, nice. And it's not like dink and dunk, you also lead the league in, you know, air yards, and that's like
72 passes against nobody, though.
Yeah.
Easy schedule.
Just saying.
Maybe we'll put a sandwich bet on this
game. I'm down with that.
I'm down with that, too. All right, we come back. We'll close it up. Closing arguments is next. Let's get back into Damon Williams, as you guys had texted some stuff. I'll read some of those about kids and contracts and millions of dollars. We'll finish up there, but that's us. The Firm, 105.1 The Fan.
The Firm of Harris and Marang is wrapping up for the day.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
Which means it's time for the Closing Arguments. Brought to you by Leskin Law. One day divorce mediation. Peace treaties, not war plans. Visit LeskinLaw.com for more information.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
On the Fan Sports Network.
You can't handle the truth!
105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Closing arguments brought to you by Leskin Law. Visit leskinlaw.com for more information. Coming up on the program tomorrow, like I said, we'll get into the Bears, the Eagles, and the Rams. Take a peek. We got a college football playoff game tomorrow. Miami Ole Miss. Get your popcorn ready for that. 10 toes down on a Thursday, as always. And Danny Cannell, great friend of the program, will join us at 11. We'll talk college football playoff transfer portal with him as well. But to continue on a story,
he enjoys talking about Miami.
Yeah, I know. He'll love that. He's probably going to take him to win the game, too. To continue a conversation we had at the beginning of the 11 o'clock hour about Damon Williams and this weird kind of situation that I think is going to open the doors to a lot of more uncomfortable, realistic problems that the NCAA and college football in general is going to have to figure out, whether it's players becoming employees or not, or how the structure looks from the transfer portal, et cetera. But I wanted to read some of your guys' thoughts from that time and kind of get back into this conversation. And a lot of it has to do with kind of the state of where kids are these days. And, you know, I definitely don't want to sit here and be the old man yelling at clouds back in my day. But I got kids, and I worry about this situation all the time. My wife and I speak about it at length, about making sure our kids understand that when they make commitments, they got to stick to it. You know, my oldest loves to join a sport for 2 weeks and then quit. And we're kind of like, you can't do that. You know, if you sign up for something, you got to go for it. This texter, signing anything means nothing to this generation of people. They've been allowed to operate any way they want with very little consequences. Blame society, blame COVID, whatever. But this generation is built on nothing's wrong with me. It's always something wrong with the system. And I think there is a little bit of that deflection. I see this a lot with parents of kids at my wife's preschool who don't tell their kids no. I have a family member who has young kids that I think they're not listening, so I'll say it out loud. I don't think they tell their kids no enough, and their kids are kind of nightmares at times.
We've all seen that kid in the grocery store.
I think there's some of us, you know, a lot of those people are my generation or our generation, Danny, and I think there's a lot of pluses and a lot of minuses from how our parents parented us. And I think we've all kind of collectively said, I want to make sure I parent my kids differently. The problem is we might have swung it a little too far.
Yeah.
But there's the flip side of this. This other text says, if he is not bound for the NFL future, which I, you know, lamented endlessly about, wouldn't it be smart to shop around and get the most money? Of course. Of course. But you did sign on a dotted line. And I think that's where some of that comes in. The system's broken, no doubt about it. But in Damon Williams' situation specifically, you had 14 more days. You had time.
Yeah. I agree to an extent. And sign a contract, honor it, all those kind of things. But at the same time, Jed Fish could up and leave and, you know, that's it.
Totally. Totally. I mean, the coaches and players need to have some sort of similarities in terms of accountability and abilities.
And some people say, well, it's a buyout. Well, I'd say the difference is Jed Fish is an employee and Damon Williams is not.
There you go.
Honestly, I'm...
From a legal standpoint, that's the answer.
That's where I sit on this. I'm pro player until.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm with you. You sign the contract, honor the contract, man. Like, that's like, you know, not law of the land, but like the handshake agreement, like that means something. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fully in that. I don't want people to get that confused.
I pinky swear with my boy when he promises something, yeah. I'm a man of my word.
Right. You know, but the other side of this is, like, I'm so sick and tired of the NCAA. I'm so sick and tired of the schools and how they've manipulated things for so long and took advantage of so many players over so many years that I'm just like, I don't care. Make them players or make them employees.
And I'm with you in that sense of if this whole thing has
it's a
to
yes
get,
and.
If this thing has to get torn down and this is how it gets torn down, so be it. I don't like it. I don't like this. And as this texter points out, which is what I've been, you know, everybody's kind of been saying, the coaches who are supposed to act like mature adults who are leaders are doing the exact same thing. And that's the biggest problem. It's crying wolf. It's rules for me, not for thee. And if Damon has to be the guy that tears this whole thing down, then so be it. I don't want college football to take a step back because I think it's going in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, what I've been reading is there's really just kind of the legal scholars of Twitter, as it were. And no, I'm not just talking about random people. I'm talking about actual lawyers. They've all basically said that UW doesn't really have anything here other than monetary. Like, they're going to make this painful because they're being petty about it. Which, well, that's... That's your prerogative.
Maybe you should have stayed in the Pac-12 and had a better chance at the college football playoff. Hey. Losers.
All right, you waited that long to get it in there.
I waited 3 hours to appropriately throw a shot at the Huskies. God, maybe I am turning into a duck honk.
Oh, they hate the Ducks.
No, you wouldn't have waited so long then.
Yeah.
I don't think the Ducks hate the Huskies as much as I do. 10 toes down.
There you go.
Closing arguments brought to you by Leskin Law. Visit leskinlaw.com for more information. Leskin Law's one-day divorce mediation. Peace treaties, not war plans. We'll catch you all tomorrow. Thanks for being a part of our program today. For Danny Marang, that's Jeff Rust. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do.
Bye.